Hello, this is Kayla Darroche, and I'm sitting here in our Talk of the Rock room with two cast members and one director of Mary Poppins here with us today. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourself, starting with the director. Yep, it's you.
My name is Alyssa Woodbury Jensen.
All right, and why don't we head over to...
Oh, Jessica Paschke.
And to...
Jared Griffin.
Mary, and what roles do you two fill?
Well, I play Mary. And it's been a lifelong dream of mine.
I play Bert.
No, but really, I play Bert.
And I play Mary.
There we go. That's right.
I'm, like, already confused.
the gender bending show will be the following weekend. Yeah. Everybody switches roles.
That would be so amazing. Can we please do that? We can do it next week. Just, you know, switch each other's roles. I'm sure you know each other's lines and everything.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can hit that high C like nothing.
Yeah, and I can totally walk upside down.
Oh, totally.
I could be a pigeon. I know that there's a role of a little lady who feeds the pigeons. That's the saddest song. I remember that from when I was little. Yeah. The Feed the Pigeons. I was like, child, toddler, crying in my seat. Like, the pigeons. And you guys are actually only two of the cast members. How big is the cast?
I don't know.
What is it?
I've lost track.
65?
I heard 65.
67, something like
Where were they? They couldn't make it.
I don't think it's that big. I think it was once that big, but through attrition and a few things, I think it were around 58 or something. I don't know. But
still,
it's crazy. It's a moving, flexing number.
She's a Star Wars fan, too.
Oh, my goodness.
So... Can you tell me a little bit about what this is such a big performance? Who are these other roles that are being filled?
Oh, well, there's the Banks family. You have George Banks and Winifred Banks and Jane and Michael. They're kind of the core around the plot kind of circles around them. And then a lot of ancillary characters that come in and help Mary teach the family how to be a family.
Yeah, how to love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when I was little, I had no concept of accents or time period. And so the whole time, I just thought that there are these people just wandering around a very odd-looking city, sounding a little bit odd. Do you remember the movie? Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
It was in the 60s?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, I didn't see it in the 60s. But
some of us actually lived in those days.
Oh, yeah.
The play is not like the movie.
No.
No?
No.
It's based on the books.
Oh, there are books. Oh, right.
Seven. There are seven
books. Oh,
wow. Books.
Okay. Who are they by?
P.L. Travers.
P.L. Travers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what is the spirit of the books? Are they in the same spirit as the movie, or are they a little bit different?
It's darker and more outlandish, you know, because you don't have to put it on stage. So Mary dances, you know, with the sun, and she has a relationship with Orion, you know, she's friends with, you know, and there's these very iconic mythological creatures that come in and help her with the kids and teach them lessons and things like that.
Some of the listeners may have seen the movie Saving Mr. Banks, which kind of chronicles how that movie came about.
Based on the
books and why she was displeased, you know, because it was a departure from the books in many ways.
Sorry, did you say there were mythological creatures?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you name it, it's in the books. She draws them in. So you don't really see that in the movie, but you can get that with the statues and things like that, you know, that comes through in the musical. But there's a lot more characters, obviously, in the books than they translated into.
Are there any mythological characters on stage? Like, are we talking ghouls and witches, or
we're talking more like gods and goddesses and
wow.
that kind of thing? You know, in ours, it's Neleus. Who's you know related to Poseidon. So that's in the musical that made the cut. but there's much more. It goes way into detail in the books.
Okay, so what is the story arc? Because I feel like I need a SparkNotes version right now, because all I saw was Disney.
expert.
Well, so, I mean, if you're familiar with the movie, it does center around the Banks family, and there is a lot of distance between all of the members of the family, and they have tried, you know, several nannies to kind of help everybody fill, you know, their socially prescribed roles, which aren't very family-friendly kind of roles, or very, very family-supportive kinds of roles. And so things get desperate. Mary Poppins comes in, and with the help of Bert and you know, Nelius and some other characters, Mrs. Corey, it's almost kind of picaresque how we go from one little scene to another, and how you first got to get the kids together, and then you get, you know, the kids with the mom, and then it brings the whole family together. And so George is having some problems at work, and Winifred is having problems being the social director that she's supposed to be. And so Mary is really, I mean, there to just help remind everyone. And so there's the scene in the park. There's new scenes in Mrs. Corey's talking shop, which is in the park, where they learn the Super Cali. There's, you got the chimney sweeps, are all up in there too, but there's a new villain, in the musical, Miss Andrews, who used to be Mr. Banks's, nanny. And so she comes in and is terrifying. and so there's a witch's duel between Mary and Mrs. Andrews, and it's fantastic. They fight. I mean, it's just like they brawl. Mary Poppins has a left hook like you would not believe. It's great. With the wand. I meant with the wand, not with the
fist. Are they witches?
Oh, you know, there's, we don't,
they're not witches, no.
They're, they just transcend Mary, just, yeah.
She works outside totally our different. Dimension.
Exactly, yeah.
Ooh, mm-hmm. All right, yeah, I was wondering, what is she? Is she human with mystical powers? Do we even need to define it? Just let it be.
She just works outside the confines of our reality. So her motto is, anything can happen if you let it. So she doesn't let herself be boxed in by what should be. There go, she's able to do a lot of things, you know. Mm. So,
is there any murder in this? I heard a rumor.
No
murder.
Oh, murder.
No.
Goodness
Not just a little murder.
There's no.
I had heard there was a reason why it was dark. Why is it darker than the play, than the musical, that is?
It goes more into depth in the relationships, I think. You get more insight into Winifred and George's marriage and relationship, which they sort of gloss over and kind of minimize in the movie. And so you just get a deeper look into that, you know, that process of how they're going to heal and what's wrong in the beginning. And you get a glimpse into George's childhood and why he is the way he is, where they don't really cover that in the movie.
In many ways, it's almost the story of George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's darker in that way. You know what I mean? There's more serious overtones with the plot development that they just dove into deeper.
That is hinted to in the musical. It was kind of a sad movie in like certain ways. It started out kind of sad with this kind of absentee father. He's just too busy to hang out. And that one song, I just feel really it set the tone with the birds.
Oh, it's like dear.
That underlying current of sadness beneath it all. And then you have Mary coming in there and kind of lifting it all up.
I think she shows them their potential. I don't think she has to lift anyone up. I think it's always there. They've just forgotten. And she remembers.
I also look at Mary as reminding them that all castes and all classes of people matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the bird woman is considered a lower class. And we see Mary's compassion and her love for this woman. And at first the children don't get it. So I see it, it's one of my favorite scenes, as more hopeful as everyone matters and everyone has a place in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the children are learning that.
Is that scene unique to the book, or was that in the movie too?
The Feed the Birds is in the movie, but it's not. It's in a different spot, and it's developed a little differently.
Okay. You know? So they meet in the your musical. They meet the Birdman.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And so, how long is the musical?
It's 3 hours with intermission. Well, just under 3 hours. Mm-hmm. First act's a little longer, and then usually there's about a 20-minute intermission. So we start at 7, and we're usually done by about 10 minutes to 10 or 5 to 10. So it's been pretty comfortable.
It kind of depends on how long it takes me to get into my harness during the intermission.
As far as the script goes,
you have no idea.
You have no idea.
Wait,
Kayla.
So are you flying? What?
Yeah.
Well, I technically don't fly. Can I reveal? I don't know.
I think the word's out.
The word's out. I walk up the wall and then I walk upside down on the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't fly, but I still fly.
What's that like?
It's one of the greatest things in the world. I've reached a whole other level of transcendence, I think, at this point.
How is it like? Do you like get in the harness and then you like turn around like an acrobat?
They spin, they pull me up, and yeah, exactly.
You have to like.
But you kind of have to come.
You what?
Watch it. You have to. I'm not holding on to anything. No, there's just this belt around me.
No, he's walking upside down at the top of the stage.
I try to tap. I try to do a little tap dance when I'm up there.
So
sometimes it
dance.
Plays, sometimes it doesn't.
No, it's worth the price of admission right there.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a moment.
Well, I want to hear about how you guys perfected your English accents.
Oh, well, I watched a lot of Downton Abbey.
I watched Downton Abbey, too.
Yes. What else did I watch? Oh, I watched Christian Bale in that magician movie. What was it? Oh, the Christopher Nolan
about.
Movie
yeah.
with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The Illusionist? Was that it? There are two really big
yeah,
ones, and I might be confusing them.
Yeah. It's not.
The other one.
Yeah. And so, for me, it was watching movies. Because you can listen to it, but there's something they do with their face, you know. Sometimes their chin's a little crooked when they talk, mm-hmm. you know.
I watched M. in the James Bond movies.
Oh,
Judy Dench.
Well, Judy Dench.
Went fancy.
Judy Dench, right?
Judy Dench.
And I know Katie listened to a lot of Jennifer Saunders, some of her audiobooks to get her accent.
And wasn't Dick Van Dyke, he was in the original movie?
Right, yes.
And yes.
I heard that every time you ask any English person to think of the fakest accent you can think of, or the worst one, they think Dick Van Dyke,
yes.
Mary Poppins, 1960s. It's almost
true.
Like you have to do a terrible accent. Did you go for genuine, or were you like, I have to, you know?
You know, I don't know how genuine it is. It's really more for, I think, comical effect, to kind of mm-hmm. show what Lisa was talking about, the lower class.
It's Dick Van Dyke.
Compared to, you know, Mary's more posh, you know.
What I learned is that there are many levels of the British accent.
Oh, right.
Jessica was kind of our dialect coach, and my goodness, there's many levels and cases within
yeah.
and regional, and the poor cast was like, wow.
So the Banks
a British
family,
accent was a British accent.
Yeah, no, the Banks family would never sound like Bert, yeah. They would never sound like the Admiral, and they'd never sound like the people in the bank, and...
Or their servants.
Or their
Brill,
servants.
Right.
Nope. Everyone had a different different dialect.
And how did you guys connect to your character? You have very different characters, but how did you focus on what kind of spirit you were going for?
Yeah, they're looking at me. This one was, it was hard. I usually play...
Yeah.
More serious kinds of characters, because I don't think I'm a very serious kind of person. So it's fun to pretend that. And so I feel with Bert, it's just almost like, what if Jared just popped into 1910 England? You know, what would Jared do? and so that was a large part of that, I guess, that connection. And also, you know, I like to think of... I usually try to think of acting in terms of status. And so it's like, what is Bert's status in relationship to, you know, the other characters in this scene. And so I try to play off of that, that status relationship. Like, I have this scene with Mr. Banks, and when he's angry, he's reflective, he's very somber. There's probably a lot of guilt and remorse going on. That's him taking control of himself and his destiny. And so Bert has to sit back a little bit and not be goofy and not be silly. But then when they start talking about Mary, that's when the scene flips and Bert's status rises just a little bit higher than Mr. Banks, because he's got the authority. He knows Mary Poppins. And so now he can go over and be Bert, you know, to Mr. Banks and communicate. Now, this is what Mary's really trying to do, you know, kind of thing. And then Bert saves the day after that. And so, you know, that's, so that's how I tried to think about it.
That answer was a good answer, a cerebral answer.
That's right.
But just to dumb it down a little, I've enjoyed Jared's portrayal because typically he has not been a, quote, song and dance man.
Oh, no.
So Jared, besides being the fine actor that he is and always has been, has had to learn how to dance and tap dance and sing and sparkle and just all that stuff that is associated with Bert, which is outside of his realm of comfort prior to now. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And he's done a masterful job. It's easy to play type. But when you're asked to play against type, that's where the true challenge lies.
How's the dancing going?
You know, it's all right. I was having a talk with Caleb the other day about this, and he said, you know, practice when you can. And so it's just all practice.
Is that advice cautionary?
It was just one of these things. It's like, oh, Jared, you're doing a great job. I'm like, Caleb, no. I mean, I just am in awe of what you can do with your feet on stage. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's just practice. Mm-hmm. It's just practice.
Hmm. And tap dancing is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you Did you like learn?
I learned a few things.
I've seen this online. It's not just stamping your feet into the ground. There are subtleties involved.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
It's very intricate.
Mm-hmm. And Hulissa has brought in Taylor. What is Taylor's last name?
Taylor Guvner.
Guvner and Ariane Clark. And I've even learned from, I mean, I've learned from my middle school drama students. Krista Sempler has worked with me, and so that's great.
Jessica, do you have to sing and dance?
Yes.
That's all I do.
Tell me more. You have a history doing that?
Yes. I have a BFA in musical theater, and I lived in New York for a while and did that there, and then I left for a while, and this is the first time I've come back to it in over a decade.
Okay, now I have to sound her horn. She's been very humble. Jessica is renowned for her vocal coaching, which she has done in very many places, and she's really good friends with Liz Kaplan, correct, who is like the vocal director for The Greatest Showman on Earth. What are some of her...
Aladdin, Dear Evan Hansen, Frozen.
Broadway shows, movies. I mean, Jessica has a very strong background and unique one. We're lucky to have her here in Kodiak.
So the impression I get is that you guys sing sometimes, and you have sung for this performance. So can you sing right now?
Oh, jeez.
Is that a no?
That's
are you
a
not?
No from me.
Oh, no. Can we get one singer?
Gosh. All right. Let's see. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
Snaps for that. Good job. I enjoyed it. I guess to see the rest and to hear Jared sing, you'll have to go to the performance, is actually this weekend, right?
Yes, Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock and final matinee Sunday at 2 o'clock. And I checked ticket online this morning, and those seats are going fast, so do not wait.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the performances so far in the grocery store and from people I know. And so it played this past weekend, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like weekend to weekend.
Yes, in fact, normally we do 4 shows for musicals, at least in the past when I've directed them. And we knew this would be such a hit that there are actually 5 performances,
which is in the past I've done shows here where we've had five, but that's always been at the last minute by being extended, Wizard of Oz and Diary of Anne Frank. So, yeah, I'm glad that they had the foresight to see the pull and the delight this show is and will bring Kodiak.
And how much are the tickets?
I don't know.
25
Yeah. Something like that. Very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, compared to, I mean, you go to Anchorage, watch the same show, $70, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I like to think we're giving them as professional an experience as they're going to see here in Kodiak. We don't just say, oh, we're only a fishing community. We go all out.
Right. And so, you guys, as speaking as actors, what's your favorite part of the performance?
Of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. You know, I love my bit with Mary at the end of Act One.
Oh, I love that. That's my
chimney,
favorite, too.
On the
that
rooftops.
Came into my, yeah.
Yeah.
The chimney.
We both get to just calm down.
Mm-hmm. And just be.
Just be.
And know that you're only moments away from getting out of your harnesses.
I'm about to get into my harness, so it's my one last breath of fresh air before.
Yeah, I love that scene because it's when they're at their most authentic.
Yeah.
And open with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flying. Because
you have to run off stage to,
to fly, but to I fly. Love the flying.
Yeah.
So it looks like we just have a couple more minutes. So what about you? What's, as a director, what's your favorite aspect of either the performance or of your role in it or really anything?
Well, I just live for those iconic moments, and I've had to fight for a few of them to get them to happen, one being Jared upside down singing.
She didn't have to fight me.
No, not him.
I'm completely willing.
But, you know, it takes a little bit of trust from the Arts Council when I pull in these big, huge ideas and what's taken to accomplish those. And so they've been wonderful at trusting and taking risks. I also really enjoy pulling the entire community together, which is the only way this show could happen. It's just the only way. There's so many involved.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've been talking about Mary Poppins and the performances that you guys can see are coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you, Kayla.
Thank you.